Chapter number 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse number 5, and then we're going to read a bunch of different passages of Scripture this morning. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Could you read that with me this morning? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Pretty simple verse. But what a tremendous truth it holds. In John chapter 17, in verse number 8, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said this, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." Jesus said in that verse that the words that he gave to his disciples, they received them. That's important. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are to receive the Word of God into our life. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and verse number 14 through verse number 16, the Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The Apostle Paul said, "Because I am a child of God, and because the Spirit of God is living in me, I am not like the natural man anymore that cannot discern right from wrong, that cannot discern the way of God. But now as someone who has the divine nature, someone that has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me, now I can have the mind of Christ." And now you, as a born-again believer, born by the Spirit of God, you can have the mind of Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, in verse number 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Peter said, like the Apostle Paul said, we, regardless of sufferings and regardless of difficulties that come into our life, we need to maintain the mind of Christ. Now look at Philippians chapter 2 again. Look at verse number 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Wherefore. That word there, he is summarizing now, or giving a conclusion on what he has already told the Philippian believers. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Verse number 13 tells me, because the Spirit of God is living in me, and because I should have the mind of Christ in my life, I ought to let God have his way in my life. Then he says, after it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. And let's just stop right there. Let's go ahead and bow forward to prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, I do ask and pray that you'd allow your word to find a lodging place in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that as the Apostle Paul, as he was writing from this prison, and he counted it joy to be able to be a service to the saints of God, Lord, help us in all of our labors and all of our strife and all of our troubles, Lord, help us to count it joy to be able to serve you. I pray, Lord, now that you just bless your word to our hearts, Lord, I pray that you do a great work. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, whether they're here or back in one of the junior churches, Lord, I pray that you do the work of salvation in their life. Pray, Lord, now for your guiding hand. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at the Gospel of John chapter 17, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 4, Philippians chapter number 2, there's one great thought that runs through this whole theme, and that is the mind of Christ. Contained within these verses, is the answer to all of the problems of the world. This past week in the news, as I watched the news in the newspaper, as I read it on the internet, I read about and I saw the riots, the looting, murders, robberies, almost on a daily basis, shootings in Toledo. I read about people that are getting divorced, people that are losing their homes. I read about child abuse, child neglect. I watched some of the news channels and it talked about the stock market and you know how it's surging way high and setting record territory, and all they're talking about how what goes up must come down, and they're talking about a major decline in the stock market here within the next year of up to close to 10,000 points. That's not good news. And I read about all of those things. I read about the mass killings and the religious persecutions, the lying and the deception. I watched the news and how they talked about all of the IRS scandals and the government cover-ups and the corruption that is in the government. Unfortunately, I've read about this time of the year between now and right after Christmas, the first of the year, is the major time for suicides to take place. They're fearful that one of the NFL football players that have come up missing, they're thinking that maybe he might have committed suicide. It was in one of the news channels. How sad. I read in the papers about individuals that was convicted of drunkenness and some of drug addiction and drug abuse. And yet there are others that I've read articles about slander and gossip And you know, the list could go on and on and on about all the perils and all the problems that plague our society. If you look at all this stuff, you'd probably have to agree with me. It seems like this stuff is happening more and more frequently. It's almost commonplace. We get numb to it. The Bible says, in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says that there's going to be a time when some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're living there, I believe. In the last days scoffers shall come, according to 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, saying, where is the promise of His coming? And certainly we are living in a day and an age when it seems like all of these things, when evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, we're there. And I don't know about you, but when I look out at all this stuff, I think, I see the things on the news and I read about these things and I think, has the world gone mad? Has it gone mad? And I would have to say, without Jesus Christ, yes, it has. The lost world does not have an answer. They don't even know what the question is. All the problems that is plaguing our society, all the drugs and all the alcohol and all of the problems that we face on a regular basis. You know, there's an answer to what's going on out in Ferguson, Missouri.
Right.
The answer is Jesus Christ.
Right.
That is the answer. The lost don't have the answer because they don't have Christ. Today I want to bring you just a simple message entitled, The Answer for a Lost World That's Gone Mad. The answer for a lost world that has gone mad. What is it? What is the answer for divorce? What is the answer for rebellious children? What is the answer for all the shootings that take place in Toledo? The answer is the mind of Christ. And each and every one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to have the mind of Christ instead of the mind of the world. We need to have the mind of Christ, and as we have the mind of Christ, we need to hold forth the Word of life. It's the answer book, amen? I want you to notice four things this morning out of Philippians chapter 2. First of all, I want you to notice the command that was given to the Apostle Paul. It was not a suggestion. It was a commandment. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is not a suggestion from God. It is a command from God. And the problem today is there is a battle that is taking place for our minds. There is a battle that is raging to capture the attention of our youth. I mean, we've got things on TV like American Idol and The Voice. And you know what? We think, oh man, these kids are so great because they have sung a song and they've followed after the patterns of the world, and they all stand up and clap and cheer, and they give them awards and all kinds of money for being worldly and ungodly. And we think, you know what, if I can just get my kids to sing like so-and-so on The Voice or so-and-so on American Idol, well, you know what, they'll be successful. I've got news for you. That is not success in God's eyes. There is a command. There is a command given to us by the Apostle Paul. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You cannot run around on a stage singing rock and roll music, having yourselves scantily dressed, and have the mind of Christ. Amen? It just will not work. The mind of Christ. It's a command. You want to get through the problems of life? Young people, you want to guard yourself from the problems of life? Right now, you need to make a decision. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm only going to allow to come into my mind what God wants me to come into my mind. I'm only going to view the things. And listen, if you've got music that does not help you to form a Christ-like mind, if you watch television programs that do not allow you to have a Christ-like spirit and a Christ-like mind, if you go to places that get your attention off of Christ and it keeps you from having a Christ-like mind, then listen, it's time to clean house in your life and get rid of those things so that you can have the mind of Christ. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to face the problems of this world, and you're going to be successful at it, the only way as a child of God, I need to have the mind of Jesus Christ and look at all those things the way Christ would look at them. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher.
Amen.
And so we need to go ahead and we need to... It's a command. Look at verse 6 and 7. He said, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a" what? Here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as it says in Revelation chapter number 19. And he comes riding down upon a white horse and proclaim his kingship over all the world. And by the way, he is king. And yet, when he came into this world, he was born in human flesh, God incarnate. He had the mind of Christ. It was a mind of humility. Too many times problems arise in our lives because of the simple fact we expect way too much from people. We expect the applause of men. We expect that people to recognize us. We expect, well, you know, I did this and I did this. Certainly they ought to put me up on a pedestal and recognize me. Jesus said we ought not let our right hand know what our left hand does. The mind of Christ, it was a mind of humility. Many times we have a false sense of pride. A self-indulgent spirit. The world owes me this. I need this because, after all, the whole world has these things. Notice the command. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Every problem in this world could be solved if people had the mind of Jesus Christ. There would be nobody committing adultery. No one, if they had the mind of Christ. No one would be taking their gun out and shooting somebody if they had the mind of Christ. No one, I don't care what color they are, would be walking into a convenience store and stealing from them and taking cigars or alcohol or whatever. And by the way, just because there was a shooting that took place in Ferguson, Missouri, does not give the whole rest of the people down there to loot and to rob and to steal and to vandalize. It's just wrong. You know how to escape all of that? Have the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. If a person had the mind of Christ, there would never be any spousal abuse. Never. The police would never have to be called because of domestic violence. No one would end up... You know what would happen to our jail system? If our jail systems would be absolutely empty, you know what would happen to children's services? They'd go out of business because they wouldn't need any. Amen? Kathy, I'd love to put you out of business. Amen? And it'd be a wonderful thing. Because there would be moms and dads in a home and they'd be raising their children under the guise of the Word of God and they'd be raising them right. You know what the answer to the world's problems is? Gone mad? The answer to the world's problems is the mind of Christ. It was a mind of humility, and it was a mind of being a servant. And so many times we think, you know what? I owe to be lifted up on a pedestal, and the whole world needs to recognize me. And you know what it boils down to? We don't deserve anything. And if we really looked at ourselves, the only thing that we deserved is to die and go to hell and burn there forever and ever because of all of our sin. Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ, amen, that went to the cross of Calvary and paid for your sin? So remember this. Young people, remember this. It's not a suggestion from God. It is a command from God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It is a command that we have the mind of Christ. Number two, I want you to look at verse number 8. I want you to notice the commitment. The commitment. Jesus Christ, thank God, He was committed to fulfill God's plan. Because He was committed to fulfill God's plan, you and I can have salvation. It says, in being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter number 17, and He said, Father, not my will but Thine be done. He was saying, Lord, if You allow this cup to pass from me, that's fine. But if not, I'm willing to be obedient unto death. It was a sacrificial commitment. And thank God it was a needed commitment for each and every one of us. And He was willing to suffer and die for you and me. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 12, take your Bible and turn there if you would. Got your Bible? Say amen. 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 Look at Romans chapter number 12. A very familiar passage of Scripture. In verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word present. Now, for everything that I've studied out about that word, it has an Old Testament connotation. It has the idea of someone coming and presenting an offering upon the brazen altar to make an offering unto God. No, you know what? When those priests came and they offered that, what would happen? Say, for example, Brother Don, he would bring his sacrifice. He'd present it to the priest. The priest would look at it. Then they would go ahead and kill it. They would put it on the altar, and it would be burned up. You know, an hour later, Brother Don couldn't say, hey, you know what, I've changed my mind. I want to go ahead and have that sacrifice back. And you know what the priest is saying? You know what, I can't do that. It's already consumed by the fire. It's already gone. And the Apostle Paul said that we are to present. It's a one-time sacrificial offering unto God. What are we to present according to Romans chapter number 12? We're to present ourselves. Present our bodies, a living sacrifice. You know, there ought to be a point in time in your life when you sell out to God. There ought to be a point in time in your life. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about there ought to be a point in time in your life when you say, as a child of God, you know what? I know that I'm saved, but Lord, here I am. The old holiness folks called it the second work of grace. I don't know if that's proper terminology, but they came to a point in time in their life when they said, you know what? It's all about God and it's not about me. And they said, you know what? I need to sell out to God. And that's what Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2 is all about. You see, we need to have a sacrificial life. We need to go ahead and come before the Lord. And if you've never done that, if you've never come before God and said, you know what, Lord, here I am, I'm a child of God, I belong to You, but here is all of me. and lay yourself upon the altar of God and say, Lord, whatever you want from me, that is what I'm willing to do. You know, every one of these young people, that's what you need to do. Can I hear adults say amen? Every one of these young people that's in here, that's what they need to do. But the truth of the matter is, every adult in here needs to do the same thing. And so the answer for a lost world gone mad is the mind of Christ. It is commanded, number one, and there is a commitment that is involved, and that commitment is, according to the Apostle Paul, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That means completely. You can't reserve one little part for you and the rest for God. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it goes on, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Listen, you cannot have a renewed mind when your mind and your thoughts are in the gutter. You cannot have a renewed mind when you're constantly listening to that rock and roll music or that adulterous country and western music that all it talks about is drinking and carousing around. You say, oh, no, wait a minute, preacher. That's good music. Compared to whose standard? Amen? If we would go ahead and compare our music and what we listen to. This past week, my daughter gave me a CD from Crown College, the Crown College Trio. And man, is it good. I would encourage everybody to get a copy of it. It's called All Along. And I have been listening to that, and it has revived my spirit. I don't normally listen to music. I like peace and quiet. When I'm driving down the road, I don't turn on the radio. I don't turn on anything usually. I just like to drive nothing on. I just like peace and quiet. Amen. And sometimes I'll go down my basement and I don't turn on the idiot box or anything. I just go down there and I just listen to peace and quiet. I like peace and quiet. Sometimes I'll come out here and I'll walk through the backyard of the church and I just like peace and quiet. Amen. But the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And there's a time to be quiet, but there's a time to go ahead and fill your heart and mind with the right things. And so I've been filling my heart and mind with some of these songs, and I'll tell you what, it's really stirred me and helped me in a great way. What you fill your life with is going to direct the course of your life. And you fill your life with the wrong television programs or the wrong type of music or the wrong type of friends, it'll direct your life in the wrong way. But if you fill your life with positive things and good things and godly things and holy things, it's going to guide and direct your life in the right way. So the commitment. Look what it says in verse number 12 and following. So he gave us a command. Let this mind be in you. He gave us the illustration of the commitment of Christ, verse number 8. Even unto death. And then verse number 12, I want you to notice, Paul gives a conclusion. He says, wherefore? In other words, because of all these things that's been said, because as a child of God, I can have the mind of Christ. Because of the Holy Spirit of God living in me, and no longer am I the natural man according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, but now the Spirit of God is dwelling in me. Now I have a divine nature according to the book of 1 Peter. Now as a Christian, as a saved person, notice the conclusion. Look at verse 12 and 13. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say that we are to work for it. It says we are to work it out. In other words, you are to work upon, in other words, you are to build upon that which you already have. Work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now notice verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Who is it that's working in your life? It is God. God is working in you. Josh, are you saved today? Amen. That means God is working in you. Amen. John, you saved? Amen. That means God is working in you. Amen. Kendall, you saved? That means God's working in you, and God's working in me, and God's working in every person that's saved. Look at Philippians 1. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means God's not going to give up on me. Amen? Amen? God's going to keep working on me, and God's going to keep working on you. And you know what? I'm not at the same place where somebody else is. Kendall's not at the same place where Derek's at, and Derek's not at the same place where my wife's at. And everybody's on a different place where God's working in their lives. I hope and pray God's patient with me. He's got a lot of work to do. Would you all agree with that? Say amen. Oh, come on. That you could say amen better than that. Because if I said that about you, I'd say amen. Because we all have a lot of work to be done in our life. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Who's doing the work? God is doing the work. That tells me since God is doing a work in my life, Nicole, God's doing a work in your life. Anthony, He's doing a work in your life. He's doing a work in all of our lives. Don't you think we ought to let Him do that work? Don't you think that we ought to go ahead and say, Lord, here I am. Just do with me what you want. After all, He is the potter and we are the clay. Verse number 12 and 13 tells me that God has a plan for our lives. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And if we took that verse for what it really says, His good pleasure and His will is not to lead us to a bar. And His will and His good pleasure is not to lead us to watch some R-rated movie. Amen? And His will is not to allow our minds to be permeated with music that is contrary to the Word of God. And we need to understand that the conclusion is God has a plan for my life, and His plan is so much better than my plan. There was a point in time when I thought I had all of life figured out. And then I got saved. And God says, you know what? I want you to do something else. And I, as a young Christian, as a new believer, I said, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. But I realized very, very quickly that God's plan was better than my plan. So number one, the conclusion, Paul said, God has a plan for your life. Look at verse number 14. Because God has a plan, Paul reminds them, do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings. In other words, don't argue with God. Don't complain. God has got a better plan than you've got, and God's got a better plan than I've got. So we ought not complain about it. Look what it says in verse number 15, the conclusion. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know what that verse is telling me? As a child of God, as we are living in a wicked world, I'm to be different. I am to be different. I'm to be different in the right way. Why is it that people want to be different in a wrong way? And I was actually reading a periodical this past week, And it was a Christian publication. I have to make specification. Christian, quote, Christian. And there was a guy that was there, and he was going to... They were having a big seminar for pastors and workers, and the guy that was leading this one group, it was on public relations. And you know, you'd think in a Christian organization, in a Christian church, here'd be a guy that's going to lead in public relations. He would be dressed to look like the vice president of a bank. I mean, he would just look just as sharp as a tack. And when he showed his picture, I looked at him, he was going like this. His face, I mean, almost duck lips, sticking out, you know. And it wasn't really shaved real well. His hair was all long and kind of fuzzy. Didn't look like he combed it with a pillow. And I'm thinking to myself, he's going to tell me how to go ahead and have public relations with someone out there in the world? He's just like the world. No suit, no tie. Had a torn up looking t-shirt on, and I'm thinking, he's gonna tell me how I can go ahead and relate Jesus Christ to a lost world? Ain't gonna work. You see, the Apostle Paul said in verse number 16 that we are to be different. Verse number 15, that ye may be blameless, the harmless, and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in this world. That tells us as a child of God, I am to be different from the world. Don't try to impress people because, hey, I'm cool. Get all our dark shades, you know, and walk around and strut like a peacock, you know. Hey, I'm cool. Look at me, you know. Fooey on all that. Teenagers, y'all know what cool means? Y'all know what cool means? I'm gonna help you out, Anthony. All right? Cool means not very hot. All right? Just let you know. So if you're trying to be cool, it's because you're not very hot. All right? Did that help you? Yeah, that helped you. All right. You'll remember that if you don't remember anything else. You'll remember that. Listen, we ought to go ahead and be different, but in a good way. You don't have to grow your hair long and look like some type of a hippie and get tattoos all over yourself to make yourself look like the world. Listen, we don't need that stuff. Say, well, I'm trying to fit in with the world so I can go ahead and witness to them. No, you go ahead and be different from the world, and you take the Word of God and you shine as a light of Jesus Christ. Amen? The conclusion is, verse number 15, I need to be different in the right way. Look at verse number 16. The Apostle Paul said, holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. As I am different from the world, I need to hold this blessed book up. And first of all, I think you all need to figure out which book is the right book. It's the old 1611 King James Bible, amen? Some people haven't figured that out. But we ought to hold up this old blessed book and point people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the world does not have an answer. The cool Joe walking down the street with his sunglasses and his stuck out chest like a peacock. Listen, he doesn't have the answers. But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God has the answers. And we as God's people that know the Lord and have the mind of Christ, we should have the answers. In verse number 16, it says, holding forth the Word of life. The bottom part of verse number 15, it says, shine as lights in the world. That tells me this, Christian, we ought to be illuminating. In Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 16, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's a shame when someone that names the name of Jesus Christ and they're saved by His glorious grace, the only thing that they're known for is lewdness and wickedness. We ought to be illuminating. And then look at verse number 17. Now, as we read verse number 17, let me remind you, the book of Philippians is a prison epistle. The Apostle Paul wrote this book as he was in prison. It's not like the county jail here in Ottawa County with their colored TVs. It's not like Wood County Detention Facility. I've been over there. Only to visit, folks. All right, just let you know that. I've been over there to see people. I walk into Wood County Detention Facility, big colored TV, ping pong tables, guys sitting around on couches. Oh, yeah, they got their orange jumpsuits on. They get three meals a day and a roof over their head and a nice warm place to sleep. Doesn't sound all bad. I know people that are working that can barely do that. This is not the prison. This is not the type of prison the Apostle Paul was in. I did some reading and some studying about this prison. The lower prison, the prisons were, the cells were stacked on top of each other. The lowest, they had an open sewer running right through the bottoms of them. They were cold. They were dark. They're filled with stench. You could not stand up in them. It was more like a concrete cage with bars. They said they were about 4.5 foot tall, and they were about 5 foot long, about 4.5 foot deep. That was it. Could you imagine being in there for any length of time? I don't know how tall the Apostle Paul was, but Scott, you'd have trouble down in that little cell. Never be able to stretch out. Always curled up. It was from this prison cell that he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. It was in this prison cell that he wrote verse number 17. Look what it says. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I," what? "Joy. And rejoice with you all." Even though he was going through extreme suffering in that prison, he said, "You know what? If I can be a help to one person, I'm going to be happy about it. I'm going to joy." Notice the conclusion. He said, "Be sacrificial." Paul had great joy that he gave his life in sacrificial service to the Lord for the benefit of others. In the process of serving others, let me just cue you in on something. Sometimes you're going to be a doormat. Sometimes people aren't going to appreciate you. Sometimes people are going to take advantage of you. Sometimes people are going to ridicule you, and they're going to use you for what they can get out of you, and then boom, they're going to be gone so that they can use someone else. And you know what? That is just the process of it all. You say, "Well, I don't like that." I don't think Jesus Christ did either. But the Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And some people think, "You know what? As long as I can serve Christ and everybody will appreciate it, then I'll go ahead and do it." But that's not what God has called us to. God has called us to go ahead and faithfully serve, whether we are used as a doormat or not, whether people appreciate it or not. God has called us to be faithful and faithful servants. And the Apostle Paul said, even though he was lied about and he was mistreated and he was imprisoned, he said, "I joy and rejoice with you all." I believe the answers to all of man's problems for a world that's gone mad is to have the mind of Christ. Think the way Jesus Christ would think. Do what he would do. So the question today as we close, How do I have the mind of Christ? Just three simple thoughts and I'll be done. How can I have the mind of Christ? Number one, you have to be saved. You have to be saved. The Bible says, but the natural man, in other words, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God, Christ's Spirit, come and dwell inside of you. And now, as a saved person, I have the opportunity to have the mind of Christ. The lost, they can't have the mind of Christ because they don't have the Spirit of Christ. The saved has the Holy Spirit to guide them and to teach them. And according to Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13, from the point in time when we get saved, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So number one, be saved. Number two, you need to learn to die to self and live for God. And you cannot turn that around. You cannot say, well, I'm going to go ahead and live for God and die to self. No, you have to learn to die to self first before you can live for God. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter number 6, look at verse number 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Paul said you have to die first and then live for God. You want to have the mind of Christ? You need to learn to die to self. That's what he talked about in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. That's what he told the Galatian believers in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, where he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, the Apostle Paul, he realized if he was going to live for God, he needed to crucify his own desires, his own flesh, and he needed to die to self. I think that's what we need to have. If we're going to live for God, maybe we need to have a funeral service. Yours. The preacher's. Amen? We need to say, I'm going to die to self and all my own desires. You say, well, that's hard. You're right. Because we all have to deal with the flesh every day. But every day we get up in the morning, we need to say in the mirror, you're not in control. You are dead. Jesus Christ lives in me. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And that's what we need to do. And then, number three, not only be saved, number two, make sure you die to self and then live unto God. And then number three, you need to focus on the Word. We need to abide in Christ. We need to abide in the Word. In Psalm 119, verse number 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Deuteronomy 6, and verse number 6, these words which command thee this day shall be in thine heart. In Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, the Apostle Paul told the Philippian believers, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How can I have the mind of Christ? How can the world have the mind of Christ? They need to get saved. They need to die to self and live for God. And they need to focus on the Word of God. By the way, this is the key to revival. This is the key to answering all the problems that face our world. This is what really needs to take place in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Toledo, Ohio, but also here at Grace Baptist Church. You see, there's a battle for the mind. And unfortunately, looking at society and looking at the average church, we are losing. music and video games and social media is taking the place of God. We must fill our minds with that which is good and that which is right and that which is holy and that which is pure. You know, it is easy to grumble and gripe about everything and everyone. And it's easy to say, well, you know what? These things should not be taking place and this isn't right and this isn't right. But you know, what about us? Do we have the mind of Christ as we're looking at a lost and dying world? The answer for a lost world that's gone mad is the mind of Christ. The renewing of a mind must start with every believer. That's the saved. What problem are you going through in your life? What difficulty are you facing? Marital trouble? You need to have the mind of Christ. Problems at work? You need to have the mind of Christ. Problems with your children? You need to have the mind of Christ. You say, well, my problems aren't any of those things. My problems are financial, preacher. You need to have the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen. And if you have the mind of Christ, you'll handle your finances the right way. Worried? Have the mind of Christ. Fearful? Need to have the mind of Christ. Need to make important decisions? You need to have the mind of Jesus Christ, because that is the answer for everyone, especially for a lost world that's gone mad. Let's bow our heads, please. Do you have the mind of Christ? God, help us to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation. Lord, help us to use it for your honor and glory. Dedicate ourselves to Thee. Lord, maybe today there are some that need to come forward. And Lord, they need to come forward and they need to sell out. They need to put their all on the altar. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our lives. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Lord, that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. And Lord, those of us that know Thee, help us, Lord, to die to self and live for Thee. May our prayer be today, as we leave this place, that we would all have the mind of Jesus Christ. We ask it all in Christ's name.